Everyone, I want to tell you now before we get started here in an hour or whatever, when I preach, you've got to sit silently. This is a Bible class. I'm blessed that I'm going to get to go home to Murfreesboro, Arkansas, and hold a meeting later on in the summer. And one of the elders who taught me in school called me. He said, "Now look, I want you to understand, Bible class is not another sermon." And he wanted to get that straight. So we welcome your input. That's what makes things so great for us as we look into God's Word, that we can share with each other. We can all have our thoughts. We can look into it and we can learn together. So you feel free to throw in, cut me off, raise your hand, do whatever. But I want your input today. We just finished a 3-week Bible class study in DeKalb that came up when a person asked the question of, "Have you ever really thought about what our purpose here is?" We go through this life and we get caught up in all of our daily trials and struggles and things like that. And sometimes we kind of lose our compass, if you will, and we think about, well, what are we here for? Why were we put on this earth? And how can we help one another with what our purpose is? And I want to give you some highlights of that today and get your input and us discuss. And I want to begin in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, if you want to go there. The Apostle Paul said in that verse, he said, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." I want you to look at that verse, and I want you to look at the first part of it. "For we are his workmanship." What does that mean to you? When I look and I say, I'm here, I'm God's workmanship. He made us. You know, God doesn't make mistakes. We're going to touch a little more on that in the sermon. But he made me. He created me in his own image. But it's very interesting that he said, "I'm his workmanship. I am created in Christ Jesus for good works." You see, I'm here to do what Jesus has said in Acts chapter 10 that he was doing. He said he was going about doing good. And that's what I'm placed here for. James chapter 1 says that for him to know that doeth good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I may have the wrong chapter there. But if I know to do good and I don't do it, it becomes sin to me. How do you interpret that and explain it? What are your thoughts on that? We had some good discussion on this. If I know to do good and I don't do it, it's sin. Ms. Smith? Exactly. We're told in Philippians chapter 2 to have that mind that was in Christ. To put others, not to highly esteem ourselves, but we're to esteem others above us. And our world, as you said, has gotten away from that. Why do you think that's so? You look around yourselves in this old world, I think you gave a very apt description. It's become me, me, me. I want what's good for me. I want what is best for me, and I want everyone else sometimes to kind of acquiesce to me. What do you think has caused us to get away from the old golden rule? Yes, ma'am. And most of you already know this. Kevin, for sure, in talking to him. But if you don't know it, you'll know it before this week's over. I'm not very good. Well, really, I'm probably no good with technology. And you bring up is kind of one of my sticking points. I think technology, as good as it is, and all of the great things that it does for us and allows us to do, if used in the wrong way, it can be such a detriment to what we're trying to do as Christians. You know, I go by the old adage, still, I laugh. I say that I would still rather deal with email than email. It's easier to talk to you than it is to email or to text. I'm not real good, but I think you have a good point. So I think one of the things is this fast-paced world, as you said, is called this. All of the things that we look to, that we depend upon, instead of going back to God's Word and doing those things. What else do you think might cause us to have this me generation attitude? Scott? Right. Right. He walks about as a roaring lion, right? And the words that used there are scary. It said he is seeking whom he may devour. And it is that old devil that's going back. Mike, you got your hand up?
Yeah, I do. I'm sure you know who he is. You know who Jason Whitlock is?
Mm-hmm.
Whitlock is, and I'm not going to get this on politics, so don't anybody freak out. This is new about Whitlock said something right in line with what you're saying. He said what's wrong in our country right now with all this stuff on Facebook, Twitter, everything is technology.
Mm-hmm.
To a certain extent, because in college, you can believe that, but I wrote a paper on the good and evils of technology. Technology is what the cavemen invented, if they're worse cavemen, or what the early people invented how to use the fires they want. That's the Lord meant for it to be there for a good purpose, to help us on this earth.
Right.
You look at the Tower of Babel. They got so smart with their language, they were going to build a tower all the way to heaven. The Lord said, I'm going to show you. That's how I'm relating this biblical. He's fixing to show us.
Right.
This can get, Karen feels the same way I do about it. That'll be the end of it for me. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but when we say on Facebook, we're praying for you. You'll see that person face to face.
Yeah.
And call them. Now, it's better, I think, in my opinion, like you said, to hear your voice than to see a
Yeah, there's still that human element of things that we're taking out of life today in a lot of avenues.
I've learned that by doing it. People want to hear voice, especially for people who are shut in.
Yeah.
Of course, they don't probably have text messaging anyway, but they'd rather talk to you than get a card.
Exactly. There's a word called saturation. We're hitting it.
Yeah. If you look at Titus chapter 3, verse 14. Paul writes there and he said, Let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. And I just wonder how we're holding up to part of that where it says, maintain good works. But you see, he tells me to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs. What are some of the urgent needs that are in the kingdom today? As he says, if I'll meet these needs, I'm not going to be unfruitful. John tells us to bear fruit. If we don't bear fruit, that tree is going to be cut down and be cast into the fire. What are some urgent needs in the Lord's kingdom today that I need to be meeting?
Love one another.
You know, God is love. And if he loved us to send his son, then we ought also to love each other the same way he tells us in 1 John. Okay, so loving the brethren. What else is an urgent need?
Understanding.
Okay.
Understanding.
Knowing that we're all God's creatures, but that skin color doesn't matter. It's the inner person.
Exactly.
Instead of the outer that we need to look at.
We need to look at the heart, but we need to look at the inside, not the outside. What about preaching the truth? I bring this up at some points, and with the gospel meeting season coming on, I think back to when I was growing up to those old gospel meetings that we had, those, what I call those old-time preachers that would come. Do you think that we are as boldly speaking God's truth today as it was in the past?
We're scared to.
Okay. So y'all are in agreement with me what I thought we could kind of spin off of this, because this is a good work. Somebody said we're scared to. Somebody said no, we're not. Why do you think we've backed off of that? You remember what the Apostle Paul told the elders from Ephesus? He said he could live with what? That he had never failed or had never shunned to do what? Preach the whole counsel of God. Are we doing that today?
We have so many more opportunities to teach. You know, we have newspaper, we have television, we have radio, we've got the program.
Right.
We're not taking
advantage of the opportunity to spread the word in many areas. And sometimes also, you know, we worry about, well, I got to be very careful about what I say today because is there someone that's going to be offended? And I learned quickly from some old gospel preachers when I started this 10 or 12 years ago. They said, if you stick right by the book and you say in the book, if someone's offended, what's pricked their hearts and offended them?
The word.
The word, not the person. Jim, you had your hand up. Matter of fact, that one's listed first on the list that's going to be the second death in the lake of fire, the cowardly, and then it goes, you're exactly right.
And I thought that was important to have that first on that list.
In Ephesians chapter 6, when Paul was talking about putting on the whole armor of God, as he came to the close of that, he said, and he encouraged them to pray, and he said, as for me, I want you to pray that I might boldly speak the word. Even though he was in chains, he said he wanted to be that he could boldly speak the word and never shun from preaching the whole counsel of God. And sometimes today, we see that even, sadly, members of the brethren sometimes shy away from some things, as we've said, that are absolute truth for whatever reason. So we need to make certain that all these things that we've mentioned that we can help one another with, that we can do, but all of these urgent needs are out there.
I think that the one reason that we don't, a lot of preachers don't speak boldly, is, you know, the people don't really want it because there's no accountability for that.
Yeah.
They don't want that.
And there is a day of accountability coming. Well, let's go on to this. So we know we're here for good works. And we know that we're to be servants of God, we're to bear fruit for Him. So let's talk about today how we can help one another. It was brought up earlier that everyone's kind of in this for me, or I want what's best for me, or I want to look this way, or however. How can we help one another in this struggle? I know Scott and I were talking, and Coach Thomas and I, we were just kind of making mention. It's been a year, hasn't it, from last March? Until today, so many things that we have gone through in our nation with all the things that happened, we won't belabor that. But as we are hopefully and prayerfully coming out of all that and putting that in our rearview mirror, as we go back to serving God in the way that we should, how can we help one another? Before we get into some scripture, what's some ideas you got as to how I can help you and you can help me as we serve God on a day-to-day basis? It's important that we have one another. We're going to go to a scripture in just a minute, but some thoughts on that. How do you help your brother or your sister? Okay. Encouragement comes in many forms, doesn't it? Just a smile. Just a kind word, a handshake, a card mail, a telephone call made. Just bumping into each other in Walmart and having a conversation. Isn't it different when we are with those of like faith? We talk about that so much back in the cab that on Sunday mornings and Sunday night and Wednesday night, we're blessed to be with people that think the same way we do, believe the same way we do, and have that. Then we have to go out into the world, and sometimes it becomes a struggle because we don't have that comfort of one another around us. Okay? Any more thoughts? How do we help one another before we discuss some things? How do you, if you don't mind sharing, how do you help a Christian brother or a Christian sister?
Well, we're to pray for one another.
Okay, there's a very good one, prayer. Do you pray daily for the congregation here in New Boston?
Yes.
And that's part of the world problem today.
Yes.
As I've said, you've heard so many speeches about getting rid of the virus or this or that, just the different issues. And I often watch some of those on TV, and I tell Sherry, I've not yet once heard somebody in that capacity stand up and say, no, we need God back in this. We need God back in this. We need to pray, and we need to put our nation back in the hands of God. What does the psalmist say? Blessed is the nation who what? Whose God is Lord. You know, if you seek me, if you pray and you seek me, and you said my people will turn from their evil ways, he's going to bless us. And they're going to fail you. They're going to fail you. Any other thoughts? I know when we talk about encouragement before we move on, and I would imagine Kevin feels the same way. I mean, it's encouraging to me this morning. I know we're a smaller congregation than in Boston, but it's encouraging this morning for me to see so many people in Bible class. It shows that there's a faithful congregation, that they understand the importance of everything. And one of the things that we battle, and I think everyone is now, I won't dwell on it much too long, but we've really tried to work hard on our Sunday night and Wednesday night. You know, we've grown a little bit. We've gotten to where we're over 50 now, three or four Sundays in a row, which is really good for us. And we'll have 52, 53, 57 on Sunday morning and 19 on Sunday night. Where are we going wrong? You know, that's another lesson in itself, but is Sunday night and Wednesday night important? And I know that many people can't attend. That's not, but we won't venture off into that. But that's one of the things that you see. That's encouraging to everyone to get to spend that time again in fellowship with God's people. Comments? All right, I want you to look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Paul tells Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. I want to look, the time that we have left, at that one word there, exhort. What does that mean to you? It's a commandment to a young preacher, but I want to tell you what I tell our congregation. Everyone sitting in a pew this morning is a preacher. The life that you live or what you say or what you do, everyone's a preacher. So he says, preach the word. Be ready. In season, out of season. Be ready. Always give a reason for the hope that lies within you. And one of the things he tells Timothy to do is to exhort. What does that word mean to you?
You're given instruction with encouragement and laying out a pattern.
Okay.
Basically,
exhorting is encouragement. It's teaching. And as you said, with encouragement. And that's what we are told to do. We're told to exhort one another, to help one another through the hard times, to be there for each other. We do that. Go ahead, Jim.
We need that encouragement because the world is so discouraging.
Right.
That we get plenty of discouragement, you know, so we need a lot of that encouragement.
And if you, and I know you see the advertising scene, but maybe this morning's sermon topic seems a little bit strange, but the topic is, am I worth something? Am I worth anything? You know, sometimes in life we reach that point that we go so low, whether it be from physical reasons or spiritual reasons or whatever happened to us, that we can get so low. And Jimmy said we need encouragement, and we kind of may even sadly reach that point to where we say, well, why am I here? What am I worth? What am I supposed to be doing? How can I regain where I was and what I was doing? So exhortation is big to us, that encouragement. Hebrews chapter 10, 24. It says these words, and let us consider one another. Let's stop right there. Let us consider one another. Do you consider your brethren on a daily basis?
You should.
You should. What does it mean to consider something? Think about it. Get it on your mind. Think about it and have it in there that I'm thinking about my brethren. I'm thinking about one another. He said, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. All right. I'll get some input on this and you'll help me out because I got some input back home in the way I said it. Does it hurt for us to be excited this morning? You know, we come to worship, and obviously we're going to be reverent. We're going to do things in decency and in order. And many times when we think about excitement, we think about that emotionalism that others use in a wrong way to worship. But I'm asking you this. Should you be excited to be a Christian and to be here this morning? Absolutely. We're going to do things in the way that they're intended and the way we're instructed. But we should be excited to be here. Right. He's the object of our worship. We're bringing it to Him today. Look at that. Consider one another in order to stir up. When we think of stirring up in today's world, we usually think of what?
Riots.
Trouble.
Rebel rousing.
Riots. Oh, I don't want to be a stirrer. The Hebrew writer says for me to be one.
There's a difference.
There's a big difference, okay? Go on.
Well, we're supposed to encourage people to love, to care, be considerate, compassionate. The other is destructive. And we don't want the destructive. We're supposed to be building up, not tearing down.
What does the Hebrew writer say? Stir up one another to what? Love and good works. All right. Help me out. How do we do that? Is there love in the congregation in New Boston? I'm going to say yeah. I see it growing and growing in DeKalb. I told them last Sunday. I've just been amazed at some of the things that have gone on there that has to do with our congregation because they're working so hard and we've got some new members and they're doing things. You can see some things going on that haven't gone on there before. So we need to love one another. If we say we love God and we don't love our brother, we are a what?
A liar.
Yeah. So stir up one another into love. What would be your definition of love? How would I, if I'm supposed to stir Michael up to love, what's our definition of love? What have I got to get him going to do?
Just show him a care.
Okay. Okay.
You got to give up your personal.
You got to give of yourself. You know, it was said in Corinthians that those people first gave of themselves. That's what's so difficult for us. If anyone wants to be a disciple of mine, what's the first thing Jesus said? Let him deny himself. That becomes hard in this old world, doesn't it? We sit and we say, well, I'm not in this me, me, me. I'm not in this microwave society of I want everything exactly when I want it. And I want it on my time frame. And I want it to go this way until I'm asked to totally deny myself. What does that mean? When he said deny yourself, what does that mean? Who brother? Let go. Let go of me. Okay. But yeah, let go of yourself. He said deny himself. Take up his cross and follow. So you see, in order for me to love God and to be in the way I've got to be with him, I've got to love you in the same way. Husbands, love your wife even as Christ what?
Love
the church. He gave his life. So you see, we're to stir one another up. We're to encourage one another into love. And then stir one another up into good works. Yes, ma'am.
A lot of this should really be starting within the home with the parents teaching their children. But the home has been broken apart so much that the children basically take care of themselves.
Right.
And they're not being taught what they, like we were taught as children on how to respect and love and be compassionate.
Absolutely right. The family unit is not the same as it was 30, 40 years ago in the way that things went on. Coach Dooley and I were talking about, and Coach Thomas knows the same thing, about the time that you spend in our profession and you look. And, you know, I can remember the times when, no matter what community I was in, when it came to Wednesday night, there weren't school activities going on. We're not going to play a baseball game on Wednesday night. We're not going to play a softball game or run a track meet or do those things on Wednesday night. Wednesday night in that community was a church night. It was a service night. And now you look at today, people just do whatever on whatever days and don't have. I brought this up and when we were talking last week about me coming here, I can remember the old gospel meetings. Boy, when I was 12 and 13 years old, I sure dreaded, because I can remember I always played summer baseball, and my dad would go down and he would tell the coaches right up front, whoever gets him on your team, he won't be doing any practice on Sunday. He won't be playing any games on Sunday. He won't be playing any games on Wednesday. And the second week of June, he won't be playing any games, because we had gospel meetings from Sunday to Sunday. And you're going to be there. And now, sadly to say, when we get together and plan a gospel meeting or a summer youth series or something of that sort for the Lord's church, we work around every other day. It's sad. Oh, well, we can't have a gospel meeting in August because school's starting back. And this is going on. And can't have one in June and July because that's camping season and summer baseball and summer softball and all those kind of. I'm not saying that to be harsh or rude, but I'm saying to tie in with what you said. As we were raised and grew up, we knew, yeah, you're going to enjoy these things, but we're going to tell you right up front, there's certain times my son's not going to be part of it. And I wasn't. I wasn't. And I'm going to tell you, I've sat there many a night in Murfreesboro, Arkansas, just kind of watching my watch, hoping, boy, we're going to be out of here in time for me to make a little bit of a game. But them old guys, they didn't wear a clock when they preached, I'm telling you. So we didn't get to enjoy some of that. But the world has changed. Let's go on into stirring each other up. What are some techniques you could use? If your goal today, if we told you when you left, you've got to select one person out of the audience today, and when you come back next Sunday morning, you're going to report to Kevin and the elders how you stirred that person up. What are some things you would do this week?
Encourage a Bible study.
Okay, encourage a Bible study.
Just call them beforehand, so we'll come over and visit you.
Just call them and drop by.
Invite them
for a meal. Go see someone. Carry them something. All of those, we quickly said, if I had that assignment to do that, we started talking about doing things how? Personally. Remember, it used to be we talked about personal evangelism. We still do. But that personal side of things, as we said earlier, has been taken out of a lot of stuff. I'll tell you, and Sherry will tell you for sure, probably worried more than I should. She used to tell me, you need to go in there and read about worrying. This past year has been hard on me. I'll just tell you, been around so many kids, just like Jamie has and all that, and you worry and you wonder and you do all that. So as things have begun to loosen up, we just called some older members of the church and said, do you have a problem with us bringing some food by to you? You know what their response was? Not only do we not have a problem, you're going to come in and eat with us. You see, people have reached the point that they've been out of touch so much that they just want some of that connection. And it's been great for us and for them just to go by someone's house. I'm going to tell you, just an old piece of fish from Skaggs is a big encouragement to somebody that's not been with another human for 5 or 6 months as far as face-to-face. So you see, there's a multitude of things that we can do to stir up. That's what I just said. It helps us immensely just to do that. There's one lady in our congregation. sweetest lady in the world. She's not been able to be out for a long period of time. And when you call her, when you first get her on the phone, she's not feeling very well. And she's really not. About 45 minutes later, she's feeling a whole lot better. And she'll just apologize. I'm sorry for tying you up, but I don't ever get to see anyone. I don't ever get to talk to anyone. And just her being able to hear someone else. You see, sometimes we forget that. I'm a lot more sympathetic to those 65 and older today than I was 20 years ago. I can tell you that. As we grow older, we tend to change some priorities and we begin to think, those things that maybe I neglected, hopefully someone will do for me. But the great thing about serving God is it's never too late. Now let's go on. We did Hebrews 10:24. Let's go to verse 25. Right after he tells me to stir up love and good works, he said, forsaking not the assembly. It must be that if I'm to encourage one another and I'm to stir them up and I'm to get people going to good works, he follows directly behind that with, don't forsake the assembly as the manner of some people. Exhort. Even exhorting more as we see today approaching. We were talking earlier before we began. I think one of the things that we've not recovered fully from COVID yet in DeKalb is this. Isn't it so easy to get out of the routine of something?
Amen.
You don't have Sunday night services for 7 months. Now all of a sudden I've got used to going home, eating that good lunch, taking a good nap, getting up, getting ready for the work week if we're still working or doing. And all of a sudden, that routine has been broken and it's so easy to say, well, I'm not going to get back in that habit. What is, without looking down, can someone tell me what verse 26 says? I want to tie all these together. He talks in 24 about consider one another, stir up the love and good works. In 25, he said, not forsaking the assembly. What does verse 26 say? For if we sin willfully. Do you think that's tied into forsaking the assembly?
Absolutely.
Well, verses are tied together, aren't they? You see? Encouragement comes to us when we're on these pews with one another, whether it be Bible class, Sunday morning worship, Sunday night worship, Wednesday night coming back together for Bible class are important. It's important for the fellowship, for the encouragement. It's important that we pay homage to our God.
That's just where we get our priorities all mixed up. You know, it's when you let that happen to yourself.
Exactly. Can you repeat what you just said, when you let?
Yes.
See? You see how he put it? When you let that happen to you. Any temptation we have, God's going to provide a way out of it, right? If we'll take it. He's going to provide a way. And it becomes a temptation to say, well, I haven't been in so long, it's okay. Remember we said we were talking earlier, the Hebrew writer says that we drift away. We just slowly drift away. So we need to be at the assembly together.
Several members are using COVID as a reason to stay away, but yet they do all kinds of other activities.
Right. That was a bell. We about done?
No, that's two.
Right, okay, good. I preached a sermon on that at home. That's 4 hours out of 168. If you take out 7-8 hours for sleeping, that's still 76. I did one on that. And when you get right down to the percentage of time God's asking you for to assemble together, it's minute. I wasn't going to ask this question, but I'm going to go ahead. Be like one of those old-timey preachers. Gospel meetings have become a thing to where I think we say, well, I went on Sunday morning, I went on Sunday night. But I got to work. I got to do this. I'm not knocking anything. Here's a question I was going to ask, and I said, no, I'm not going to ask it, but I'm going to ask it. If you found out for certain today, for certain, no questions asked, Sunday night, April the 25th, Monday night, April the 26th, Tuesday night, April the 27th, or Wednesday night, April the 28th, at promptly 7:15 p.m., the Lord was going to return, where would you be tonight? Hopefully in the assembly. It's important. And it's not important because of the man or the person who's preaching. It's important because the elders have said this is a good work. This is one of those things for encouragement. I can tell you right now, you're not going to get any encouragement at 7 o'clock tomorrow night from CNN, Fox News, or KSLA. I've tried that. Not happening. Don't know if you'll get any encouragement from the preacher, but you might get some from the person sitting next to you on the pew. Kevin wrote an article in y'all's bulletin. I get y'all's bulletin. I don't know how long ago it was, but I used it on a Wednesday night. The article he wrote, if you remember it, I don't know exactly how he worded it, but he said, what do you see on the pew next to you? Very good article. Do you see another soul that was created just like you, that's as important in God's eyes as you, and that you need, and they need you to be there with them? Our encouragement today should come from the Word and from those of us who are striving together to serve Him. Is there anybody sitting in here this morning that you wouldn't spend eternity with? Him? I won't go to heaven because I don't want to be with them. Down here too. It's important that we share with one another. It's important that we encourage one another. It's important to realize this. Each and every member of the congregation in New Boston, Texas, or DeKalb, Texas, or Murfreesboro, or wherever it is vital and important. If you want to see that, we've had one member that went to the hospital on January the 4th from COVID. He's not yet returned. Happened to be the song leader. That made it even more vital to look and say, but when that one spot is missing, just doesn't seem like everything's right till everybody gets back together. And we know that congregations have even lost members due to the things that have gone on. But you see, we need to cherish each day. I think that's the one thing I've learned in the last year. We always talk about living day to day, but we really don't think about it, do we? Mike?
Two things real quick. We're hurting now. Church attendance is down because, and we can't blame ourselves. I think we've done what we can with the generations behind us.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to. Another thing that's scary, this is not meant for anything. It's online service. I know people. I know it. Here's the deal where technology comes into play. People that can't come, I think it's great. But we better watch, saying we can watch it at home.
Yeah. Oh, you're absolutely right. For those who can't attend, it's a blessing. But it is not to be a substitute.
I had a conversation with Bill Sanders
about
that.
It's not an excuse.
Not a substitute.
He had a real good article, if you read.
Had a good lesson this morning.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. We can't use online to replace. Last thing I'll say is this. What I was finishing up on is if all this past year has taught me one thing, it's to truly realize we're day to day. And I don't think I ever stopped and thought about that because it's not in our nature to wake up in the morning and our feet hit the floor and the first thing we think about is I could die today. You know, that's not something that we think about, but it's something that's reality. So I think that I've been taught in the last year this. The biggest thing that I missed as far as worshiping God was the assembling together and seeing those people each and every week and being with them. Anybody got any one thing you want to say? You've been a good class. I appreciate the participation, and hopefully we gain something from it that will help us in day-to-day.